All right, well, today we are simply wrapping up this series called How to Have the Best Year Ever. And we said, really, we kind of took this wisdom from James. His name is James. He's the brother of Jesus. And the brother of Jesus, James, said how we can do this, how we can actually have the best year ever. And here's what he said. We kind of built it all around this idea of James chapter 1, verse 25. We'll put it up on the screen. It says this. It says, whoever looks intently into the perfect law. Now, remember these words. We kind of studied these words in part one of the series. The word intently was to, like, bend over. It was, like, to really, it wasn't just kind of, like, kind of gaze. It was, like, to really investigate, really look into it, and to bend over, to really look into it. It says the perfect law. And if you were a Jewish listener to this, you would have said, well, what law? Because there are 613 laws. But remember, James, Jesus' brother, was like, no, it's not just the 613 laws. Jesus condensed it all kind of down to really just two laws, by loving God and just loving others. And then he kind of condensed it down almost to one law that just said, here's what I want you to do. Ultimately, just love each other the way that I have loved you. And so I want you just to kind of carry this out. In other words, Jesus was saying, just do as I do. If you just do as I do, then you're going to kind of have this kind of great year. You're going to be blessed in what you do. Because he goes, hey, the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it. And he said, don't forget about what you just heard, but do it. It's like, do this whole thing. Do it. And then he goes, and if you do it, you'll be blessed. You'll be happy in what you do. Whenever you do this thing, you're going to be happy with what you're doing. In other words, it's pretty simple. It's the doing that makes all the difference. And we talked about this whole thing, this whole series, that it's all about the doing. And we said, well, as we start off this year, 2018, and we kind of kick this whole series off, our heart, our hope for you and for me is that you would launch out and begin to take God's word and not just become hearers of God's word, but become doers of it. Because it's the doing that makes all the difference. Just listening in. Hey, that's great, but you got to go beyond just listening in, and you got to begin to do the thing that God says to do. And here's ultimately why this is so important for us to have the best year ever, because whenever you do what the one who knows best says to do, you have what's best. Whenever you do what the one who knows best says to do, you'll have what's best, simply because you're following the instructions of the one who knows best. And who knows best more than the Father, right? Because Father's knows best. Yeah, remember that? Yeah, see? Yes, that's good. So, yeah, if you're like me and you grew up with a black and white TV, you know, then you're like, oh, I know that. But everybody else is like, oh, I still don't get it. But that's the idea that God knows best. And because God knows best and we follow what he says to do, then we just have what's best. And that's how we have the best year ever. So we've been unpacking this idea about what it is that God calls us to do. And today, we're going to continue with the fourth part of this series and what it is that God calls us to do as a church so that we could have the best year ever. Now, here's how I want to start off today in part four of this series. I want to start by just asking you a question. You don't have to shout it out, but you can kind of maybe just think about it. Who knows the real you? Now, who knows the real you? And I'm not talking about like the social media you, because that's not the real you. All right, that is not the real you, okay? Because that's just like the left side of you, you know, or whatever your good side. My wife even actually sent me a Snapchat this week, and she started off the Snapchat straight ahead, and then she goes, but that makes my chin look fat. And then she goes, but now, and literally, I mean, just to her own husband, I was like, come on, I know how your chin looks. Anyway, so, you know, but man, it's not the social media you, you know, it's not your whole Facebook kind of thing going on, right? But who knows the real you? Like who knows the real thing inside of you, you know, like all the ins and outs, like again, you don't have to shout it out, but who knows what you did last night? Like who knows how you talk to people at home? You know, who knows how you really talk to people when you're in your car and the music is up, and how you really feel in the moment when the car cuts you off? Like who knows the real you? Now here's the thing. Regardless of who you would say knows the real you know, your family, friends, different people, different names would probably pop up in your mind. We all would probably answer it the same way. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. You'd probably just answer it this way. And here's how we probably all would answer it, right? Whoever you're real with. Isn't that true? I mean, just whoever knows the real you are the people that you're real with. right? The people that you kind of, you're around them, and you're like, man, I could just be real with you. You ever said that? Man, I just love you because you're just real. Anybody ever said that before? You know, and for some reason, you get a little more kind of like young when you say, we're more real, man. We're just real, you know, just, you're so real, you know. You ever done that? Yeah, so just, we're just real. I can feel like I could be real with them, you know. What you really mean by that is like, you feel like, you know, I could be accepted by you. You accept me for who I am, you know. Like, I can let my guard down, you know. I could go like, oh, kind of all the stuff down. Man, I just be real with you, you know. We love to be around people who we can be real with. And the people, and this is so important, the people that you feel that you can be real around are the people that you're real with, right? Whoever knows the real you are the people that you're real with. And it's just kind of one of those things. And so I just thought, since we're in church, we would just take a moment to get real. And so here's what I want to do. I'm going to invite you to just kind of stand up around the room just a moment, and you're going to find like a stranger, somebody you don't know, okay? And I just want you to be real. Now, I mean it. I'm like, I want you to be like just real, okay? So just expose all the hurt. Expose all, why are you laughing? Expose all the pain, your anger, frustration, how you really feel about your boss. You ready? Here's what I know. If your first time, you're like, this is not, I mean, I saw a brave church, but I don't know if we're going to be that brave. That just seems a little crazy around here. Right, here's what I know just happened to you, right? And we're not going to do that, all right? We're not going to do it. But here's what I know just happened to some of you. It got a little uncomfortable, right? You're like, oh, are we really going to have to do this? Are we really going to have to be real with one another, right? I mean, this is kind of one of those things that I think just naturally just kind of occurred probably in all of us, right? And here's why. Here's why you just got really uncomfortable when you started to think about, are we really going to do this? Like, we really have to be real with people? Here's why. Because we've learned to pretend in church. We have learned. It's not something like this is your fault or we're mad or I'm, this is something I've learned to do in church. And nobody does it better than pastors and leaders. Right? Because it's just you kind of get like the pressure of people kind of thinking about you a certain way, you know, and so it's just so easy to just try to pretend in church. And you've learned to do this so well. I mean, look at you. You right now are on your best behavior. I mean, look at you right now. Like, it's amazing, you know, what happens when you come to church, you know? It's like, you're not stumbling anywhere like you were last night. You're just on, you know, you're just on your best behavior, you know? It's amazing. No one's arguing, you know? I don't like you like you were in the van on the way over. We've learned to pretend in church. It's just one of those things that we kind of do. In fact, it's the easiest place to pretend. It's one of the easiest places to pretend. It just kind of is. And here's how I know that, because you've said these statements that I'm going to put up, and I've said these statements before. We've heard these statements. Here's the first one that we've probably all said. Where, you can't say that in church. You know what this implies? You can say it anywhere else outside of church. You can't say that in church. Can you imagine if I was up here? Come on, let's be honest. You want me to pretend in church. You do. Because if I really said what I really wanted to say, you wouldn't be here long. See, we've just learned to pretend in church. You can't say that in church. You can't say that on stage. You're a pastor. One of those things. Here's something else we've done before. You can't act that way in church. Now, some of you do this if you're a parent, you do this with your kids. When we get out of this car, you better not act that way in church. But then, it's true. But when you get back in the van, we'll just be chaos family again. But when if you're a spouse, a wife, you coach your family probably before getting out of your car. You do this. Hey, when we're in church, we don't talk that way. We go to somebody's house inside the church. Okay, everybody get their nice clothes on. Everybody look. We're not talking about that. You know, it's true. We've learned to pretend in church. Here's something else we've done. Last one, this symbol. You can't wear that in church. Do you know what this implies? Just think about it. This is what this implies. That means whatever you have, that's kind of this visual. Like, this is a true thing. You can't wear that to church. But whenever we leave church, it all comes out, and that's okay, because we're not in church. It's true. Look at you. Look at me. You think I wear this every day? We just learn. You can't wear that in church. Man, we've just done such a great job at pretending in church. It's just one of those things that we have learned to do as a culture. But here's absolutely the problem. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Here's the problem with pretending in church. The moment you start pretending, you stop growing. Whenever you start pretending, you have stunted your growth. Whenever you pretend that your relationship is intact, and you pretend in your marriage, you pretend in your friendships, and you pretend that everything is okay, you have stunted the growth of your relationship. Because the moment you start pretending is the moment that you stop growing. The moment you sit in your company, in your organization, in your meeting, whatever the case is, inside of a church, and you act as if you fully understand what you're supposed to do, you act as if you fully kind of comprehend why you're doing the thing that you're doing, but you really don't. You're just kind of pretending that you understood it. You're pretending, if you're sitting in school, sitting in class, you know, if you're a young person, and you're just pretending that you know what the teacher said, you're just kind of pretending that you got it all together. Oh, yeah, I got it. I understand. Yep, check it off the list. I fully understand. You are preventing your own growth. The moment you start pretending is the moment that you stop growing. It's just one of those things. And the truth is, we'll put this up. It is not until we are real with who we are and where we really are that we can be who we really want to be and we can get to where we really want to go. Yeah. It is so true that it's not until that you are real with who you really are, the real person, the real flaws, the real mistakes, the real frustrations, the real offense, the real things that really go inside of you, that it's not until you become to kind of be real with who you are and then where you are, where you're at in your marriage, what season of life, where you're at in your spiritual growth with Christ, whatever it is, when you begin to become real, it's not until those moments that you can begin to become the person that you really want to be and that you can get to where you really want to go. But it always starts with kind of a foundational kind of idea that we got to pay, let's got to be real. We got to really be honest. This is where we really are. This is so, so important for us to understand as a church. And here's also why, before we unpack the whole talk today, this is why it's so, so important. Because if nobody knows the real you, then they don't really know you. Now, just think about that. It's not until somebody knows the real you that they really know you. In fact, for some of you, and this is kind of sad, nobody really knows you because you don't really let yourself be known. No one really knows you. In fact, many of you, and many of me, this is kind of one of those things, people like you, but they don't really like you because they don't really know the real you. And we've just kind of got caught in this idea of just learning just to pretend, learning just to put out what's best, learning to have kind of like snapshots, because we just oftentimes, for whatever reasons, whatever culture says, whenever we've been hurt in our past, we try to let somebody know the real us, and it just didn't work out the way we thought, and so we can't really trust people, all these different reasons. But my encouragement is simply this today, that we would just consider for a moment, what would it be like if we were real with one another? Like, we just didn't pretend anymore, and we were real with one another. Honestly, if you're like me, you go, that's kind of scary. That's kind of fearful. I mean, imagine in your workplace, your environment, your marriage, your relationships, if all of your friends, coworkers, community started to be real, you'd be like, oh, that might be the end of our community, our friendships, and like everything else, because we just learn to pretend. So today, I just want to kind of challenge that idea that maybe we're not supposed to be pretending. Maybe, just maybe, we're actually supposed to be real. In fact, you may not believe what I'm about to tell you. You may go, I don't know if that's really true because I've never seen it that way. But actually, this is so cool. The very first church, okay, like you've seen the signs, First Baptist Church, First Presbyterian Church, First. It's amazing how they're all first. I don't know, but they're all first. And so I'm not knocking, they're first. And so this is actually the first church. This is actually the first New Testament church. Jesus ascends to heaven, and this is the very first church. The very first pastor or leader of that church was James, the brother of Jesus. And this is what that very first pastor, very first leader, very first church actually said that we're to do with one another. Look what it says in James chapter 5, verses 16. This is what James, the very first pastor, says. He actually gave a command to be real in church. He says, I want you to be real. Look what he says. He goes, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be real. And this is how real I want you to be. Ready? Here's the command. Confess your sins to each other. Each other. This was not a confession of sin to the priest. It was a confession of sin to one leader. It says, confess your sins to each other. So let's try that out. We don't want to do what he's saying, do we? We're just here to listen and applaud. What a great message. We don't want to do this. It's the tension we feel, right? Pretending versus being real. But James says, no, I want you to be real. I want you to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Some of you right now are going, we're never coming back to this church. But it's okay. Just stay with me. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, what I love about this idea between James and what James is saying is, listen, confessing your sins to each other is not so that you're forgiven. You don't go to anyone else to get forgiveness other than Jesus. Remember, this is not about forgiveness. And James is like, hey, listen, this is not about forgiveness. You can go straight to God right now and say, God, forgive me my sins, and he'll faithful to forgive you each and every time. It's just one of those things. It's between you and God as far as forgiveness of your sins. But he says, this, confessing to each other and praying for each other, is not for the purpose of forgiveness. It's for the purpose of healing. That's really interesting. Because the word healing, actually, in this context, can mean two kind of parts. And this kind of debate, if you would, kind of get into the theology of it. But there's this idea, there's a struggle between, is this a physical healing or is this a spiritual healing? But the word healing here actually means to be made whole. And so I adopt the idea that it's really about physical healing and spiritual healing. Because I have found out in my life, I love it when someone else is struggling like me. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and say, man, our marriage is struggling, and our marriage isn't struggling. But if you know, just don't, hey, Chris, I heard your marriage. It's just a, we're fine. But, you know, have you ever gone to somebody and said, you know, man, our thing is struggling, you know, I'm not trying to figure this out with my kids. I just don't know if I'm a good dad. And then the other person says back to you, hey, me too. And you're like, oh, I just feel so good. You ever been there before? And you don't want to be, like, excited about their pain and misery with you, but something inside of you is like, oh, this just feels good. Because here's what I found, and I'm sure you found this too. That we lead best through our strengths, but we connect in our weaknesses. We really connect in our weaknesses, don't we? When we get to kind of like get with somebody else and they're kind of messed up, man, you're messed up like me, yeah. You know, you've probably had this conversation before. For a lot of us, it comes down to friends, right? We think sometimes in this particular kind of thing, I'm just kind of thinking, you ever thought that everyone else in the world has a bunch of friends and they're all hanging out at a big party and you're the only couple at home with no friends? You ever felt that way before? You know, and then it feels good. You talk to somebody, you invite somebody out, they come over, like, man, we just don't really have a lot of friends. Like, we don't either. You're like, oh, I thought, like, there's this massive party we're just never invited to. It just felt that way. We want to have friends. But yeah, so you just, it feels good when you can connect, you know, and you just kind of confess and you just kind of talk. There's just like this healing that takes place. Think about AA meetings or 12-step programs, right? It's one of the first things they have them do is what? Just confess their sin. Because there's just kind of like this healing that takes place when all of a sudden you can kind of be honest and be real and just confess what's happening. All of a sudden the people around you are like, hey, me too, me too. And all of a sudden healing begins to take place. And so the brother of Jesus, James, says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to confess. I want you to be real so that you can be healed. This is something that actually James, of course, the very first pastor said, dude, I want you to be real in church so you can get healing. Here's what another church leader said in Hebrews 10:24. Another church leader said this. He goes, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. In other words, I want to try to push you towards loving others and towards the good works. I want to kind of spur you on. I want to encourage you. I want to motivate you. I want to push you towards the things of God. Let us do this with one another. each other. This isn't just me to you. Notice it's the one another. It's the each other part of it. He says, an axiom of good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together. In other words, hey, let's just not stop doing this. This is important, but we've kind of got to go beyond that. So let's not stop the whole meeting. Some people have done that, but let's not do that. Let's keep meeting together. And he says, but encourage one another. In other words, it's not just enough for me on Sunday to give you a little bit of encouragement, and then you just kind of have to wait to get re-encouraged until next Sunday. He's like, no, we got to go beyond that and encourage one another. This is going to have to go beyond this. Now, here's the thing. If I said, let's just pause here and do that, it would be so awkward for you and so superficial. Can you imagine just trying to find somebody in the room that you don't know, never met? Hey, you're amazing. What's your name again? I don't know, but you're awesome. You're one of the best people in the world that I know. That would seem so weird. See, I'm saying it to you, and it just feels weird even now saying it. You're like, well, we can't do that. We don't know one another. How could I possibly encourage somebody that I don't even know and it come across genuine and real, right? So, like, there's this gap. Like, you can't do that in here, can you? I mean, you can. You know, hey, nice shoes. I don't know. Hey, you're really great at your job. You're one of the best performers at your job. I mean, you absolutely deserve a raise, 100%. I mean, can you imagine if I just say that to you? You'd be like, who are you? This guy's weird. So it's just one of those kinds of things. But listen, this writer of Hebrews says, this is how you're supposed to be as a church. This is actually what you're supposed to be doing. Not just reading. This is all about action. Like, this is about doing. You're supposed to actually do this and encourage each other and kind of continue to help people continue to grow as they pursue in this relationship with God. You know, one of the things I've found over the past couple of years as a follower of Jesus for 10, 11 years, really giving my life kind of fully over to him, is following Jesus, can I say this, isn't always easy. I mean, it's an easy decision to say, yes, I want to follow Christ because he died for me. That decision in my mind is kind of easy. It makes sense. But on the journey, man, in the moments where you're having to make decisions of the things that you really want to do versus the things that you know that you should do, those are tough moments. Where you're trying to let go of some things that you know are holding you back from your relationship with God, and you're trying to press forward and do what God's calling you to do and have courage and kind of let down all that stuff in the past and move forward in what God wants for you, isn't always easy. I mean, sometimes it gets really hard if we're honest and we're being real, right? Sometimes you don't feel like waking up and coming to church, but you know something inside of you is like, man, you should go. And then it's like, oh, but it's just, you know, this bed feels so good and you, whatever, you know, and it, whatever it is. And you start thinking about it, you know, and it's like, ah, oh, maybe we should go. Even from that's kind of a smaller thing to maybe something more serious, you know, like maybe certain sins, certain addictions, certain things that you have or you hold, or a pain or unforgiveness. And you're like, I don't want to let that thing go. That's hard to let that go. Man, just following Jesus isn't always easy and comfortable. And we need people around us to encourage us, it says, to motivate us to keep going and keep pushing forward. And man, don't stop and keep chasing after God. He's got great things in your life for you, right? So this writer is saying, this is what the church is supposed to do. This is actually what's supposed to be happening. And then Paul, another church leader, we've heard about Paul before, and slightly maybe Paul wrote Hebrews too, but there's some discrepancy on that. But Paul, we know, said this. Paul, another church leader, in fact, a church planter of church planters, planted, you know, just hundreds of churches. It's one of the reasons why you're actually here today, because this guy named Paul. Here's what Paul said to do for the church. He said this. Put up, it says, brothers and sisters, Galatians 6:1. It says, brothers and sisters, he's talking to the church. He says, if someone is caught in a sin, now watch this. It says, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. This word caught actually means, what Paul is saying is, hey, when you catch somebody sinning, in other words, you actually get on their Facebook and you're like, hey, caught you. Now just, that's, yeah, you're like, oh, you know, you're like, this is really the Bible? Are you sure? Let's check this. Like, that is something. No, this is actually what Paul said to do. He's like, hey, yeah, when you catch somebody, in other words, I want you to kind of sometimes look around your friends and brothers and sisters and see if they're caught in sin, because being in sin is separating you from God, and you're my brother and sister, and I don't want that for you. And so I'm going after you to make sure that you're not in sin. This is what church is supposed to be like? It's like, man, Yeah, and then restore them gently. Aha, I caught you sinning. You're going to hell. No. Gently. Because evidently there were some people who were being kind of harsh, you know. He's like, just remember to be gentle when you talk about it, right? Like, man, hey, I saw and I've heard, I know. Are you okay with that? How's that addiction going? What's going on in your marriage? How are you talking to her? Have you toned it down? Are you still like kind of producing a lot of wrath with your anger? And let's talk about it. Let's meet about it. This is what the church is supposed to be like. And this is what we're called to do as a church. And then Paul's about to make this next statement, which kind of really wraps up this whole series, and he really puts an additional kind of command out. And here's what he says to do to the church. He says, I want you to be real, right? Because I want you to kind of confess. I want you to kind of, when you catch somebody doing something, hey, don't be afraid to call it out. Be real with them, you know, talk with them about it. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to carry each other. There's that each other again. Carry each other's burdens. This word burden is this word weight. It's a weight. We know this as with family, whether you're single, newly married, haven't been married. There's a weight that we carry in life. Right? There's a weight. There's a weight of performing in our job. There's a weight of making income. There's a weight, of maintaining where you, kind of style of living that you have. There's a weight to that you feel to impress, you know, your family, your father, your mother. There's weight. We all carry weight. And we all carry different levels of weight or different types of weight, but we all carry weight. We all have different burdens that we're carrying. Past experiences, pain, abuse, yelling, whatever kind of been, you know, history, genealogy of divorce or whatever it is, suffering. We all carry elements of weight. And Paul understands this idea, and he wants his church to grow, and he wants the people to grow. And he knows for that to happen, we're to carry each other's burdens. We're to share in each other's burdens. And then he says, and here's ultimately why. Whenever you carry each other's burdens, look at this, you fulfill the law of Christ. You fulfill the law of Christ. Now just stay with me on this to kind of see the whole thing come together. What's the law of Christ? We said in the very first part of today's talk and in the very first part of the series, that the law of Christ wasn't the 613 Old Testament laws, but the law of Christ was to love each other as I've loved you. So what Paul is essentially saying is, whenever you carry each other's burdens and you share in the weight of life with one another, when you do life with one another and you're real with one another and you kind of share in all that stuff and you're sharing in your burdens, and just think about this. When you're confessing your sins, well Paul didn't say confessing with sins. Well, yeah, he did. Because the only way for me to know your burden is for you to share your burden. So whenever you confess with one another, whenever you kind of share in the burdens with one another, and then you don't just kind of talk about it, but you help carry that burden, and you love them, and you encourage them, whenever you do these things, you're actually loving others the way Jesus loved you. And this is ultimately what James said in chapter 1, verse 25, when he said, look intently to the perfect law. What's the perfect law? To love others the way that Jesus loved us. And whenever you do this, you actually are doing exactly what Jesus would want you to do, because it's what he did for you. Right? Didn't Jesus do these things? Yeah. Yet Jesus knows every single sin you've ever committed. The confession has already been in. And whenever the confession comes in, he is faithful to forgive you. In fact, he took it a step further and said, I'm going to go to a cross, take all upon your sin so that you're healed, because it's by my stripes that you are healed. It's what Jesus did. And then Jesus goes beyond that. Jesus absolutely 100%, no doubt about it, encourages us and pushes us on towards the race, towards finishing and accomplishing what God has called us to do. And God, no doubt about it, when he went to the cross, carried your burden. In fact, one text says, for you to cast your cares, cast your burdens upon me. I welcome your weight. I welcome you to put your burdens on top of me. And this is what Jesus says for, you know, kind of for us to do. This is what I've done for you, and this is what you are to do for one another. In fact, when you love each other like this, this is actually how people will know that you belong to me. Man, we've just gotten so good at pretending in church and just kind of showing up and just putting on the facade, and then we're real with the people on the outside. And here's the dangerous part of that. Some of us want to kind of have this desire to be so real with people. You and I have done this, and our kids do it. We see it all the time, and no doubt about it. It's just kind of all of us have done it, and it's not just one of those things. We desire to be real with each other so much. We'll be real with the circle of people. It's not even healthy. That's why people join gangs, isn't it? A place they could just be real, where they feel accepted, even though it's not healthy. You'll put yourself in an environment where you feel you can be real with somebody, even if they're not healthy for you. And the whole teaching of the church, from James to Paul to Christ himself, this is not how we're supposed to operate as a church. We're supposed to do these things with one another so that we fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Simply to love others the way that I've loved you. And this is how we are supposed to simply be as a church. And here's ultimately the problem. This is kind of we're going to spend the last kind of minutes of our talk today. Here's what I know about this whole idea. Say, that sounds good, Ricky. Like, that sounds great. That's what we're supposed to do. But how do you do that? Because here's just what's reality. You cannot do that in here. Like, you can't do that right here. You can't do that sitting in a row. Literally. It's just kind of like, well, it just doesn't make sense. You just can't do that on a typical scenario on a Sunday like this. The truth is, your best opportunity to do what Christ has called you to do is in a circle. A circle. And the reason that is because a circle is a place that we can be real. It's the place that we can be real with one another. This is why we push on groups so much, because this is an environment not just to meet up and hang out and do life, but it's an environment where you can begin to establish so much trust with one another that there can be a genuine confession of sin that turns into a genuine kind of understanding and a gentle restoring back and helping that person back. It turns into a gentle encouragement and kind of encouraging one another to move on and to press on towards the things of God. And then it kind of continues to turn and say, hey, there's a group of people, and we're here to share in that burden with you. We're here to help carry that weight with you. And when I say all of those things, every single one of you, I guarantee you, says, well, that sounds great. Someone to actually encourage me, someone to uplift me, someone I can be real with? Sounds good. Here's the deal. You can't do that in here on a Sunday. You just can't. The only place you can actually have that and do that is in a circle. And that is why we absolutely push on these ideas of connect groups. Because we want you to simply grow. And more importantly, we want you to do as Jesus did, so that you'll be blessed in what you do. Write this down if you're taking notes. Last thought. Your best chance at doing what God wants, because that's ultimately the goal of the whole, you know, how to have the best year ever. Your best chance at doing what God wants is to be around people who want what God wants. One of the reasons why you may not be doing what God wants is because you're around people who don't want what God wants. And it just intensifies it. And it's not saying, oh, you got to, you know, drop all your friends, hang out with people. No, it's just saying your best opportunity to do the thing that God wants you to do is to put yourself around people who want what God wants for them as well. Because it just encourages you on. It just pushes you on to move forward. And so my hope for you today is really simple, that you would just highly consider being a part of one of our connect groups. This is why we make it a big deal at Brave about connect groups. And we want to continue to expand our groups. We want to continue to expand our reach in groups. And so let me just talk to you about groups for just a moment. We have, I think, around 7 different groups that are happening back there. Some are just monthly. We have these date night groups that we're doing that are just a monthly date night, you know, and we're going to try to have childcare lined up, and so we'll be contacting you about that if you're part of our date nights. We have a prayer group that meets right here on Sunday mornings, right here, right around 9:30 until about 10. There's a group of people that meet in here and just kind of pray for the service and pray for the day. And so that happens every Sunday right here in this room. We have a salsa. I mean, how easy is that to be real, right? I mean, if talking about being real, just show up and start dancing. It'll make you be real. And then when you have to dance with the instructors, you're like, oh, this is awkward. But hey, it's fun because you're all kind of in the same boat, you know, you're all kind of laughing. But then there's that one person that's really good, you know. Anyways. No, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's just a place that you can just connect and just be real and have fun. So not all of these are like these in-depth Bible studies. It's just a place, an environment where you can be real. In fact, when we launched Connect Groups, we said we wanted three things. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is not on the screen, but just get this idea. All we want out of a Connect Group is really three things: that you would show up, you'd participate, and you'd be real. When we talked about this from the very beginning, that's all we said. You didn't have to fake anything, pretend like you know the whole thing. No, don't do any of that. Just show up and be real. You know, just participate. Just be a part of it. Man, it's just amazing what God can do when we do that. So we have like a salsa group. We have a couple date night groups. We have the prayer night group going on. I'm forgetting some other ones that are kind of shouting out to me or kind of coming to my mind at the moment. But there's a women's group that meets. I mean, talk about, I've been in the house. I'm not listening. But, man, you get a part of that what ladies group and they can be a little too real, you know, like, oh, I don't want to hear that. So I leave. I literally leave. I'm like, I don't want to hear what my wife is saying. All right, so anyways, she's being real though, so it's good for her to be real. So it's just a good opportunity for us to be real. Last thought on that too. If there's a group kind of time period, you go back to the group table and you look at it and you're like, man, these times don't work for us. Here's an idea. Host a group. You know, I mean, because there's a chance, there's an opportunity that maybe you can't do the nights that are back there, but maybe you're thinking, you know what, we would love to have one on Tuesday. Our goal at Brave, we would love to have a group every single night of the week because we know just the busyness and the schedules and everyone's on different kind of rotations. A group doesn't have to be 15, 20 people. Our hope actually is to be somewhere in the range of like maybe 4 to like 10 people, maybe 6 to 12 people. So we don't want this to be always massive groups and large groups because we know it's hard to be real in those kind of environments. So if there's not a group back there that kind of meets your need, hey, be willing to consider this. Just say, hey, you know, I'm willing to maybe host a group. So all you got to do is say, well, how do I host one? It's real simple. Take the Connect card on your seat, fill out, you know, interested in hosting, okay, and make sure you just drop that at the Brave tent, that's the black tent outside, and say interested in hosting a group. Drop that in the bucket. We'll be in contact with you about the group idea that you have, and we'll talk to you about that a little bit. All right, that's what that's all about. So here's how we're going to dismiss. It's really simple. I just want you to think about, just consider for the moment, what your life would be like. Just imagine, if you would, if you were just real with each other. What if you were real about where your marriage is? Where would your marriage go this year? What if you were real about where you are spiritually? And maybe, you know, you've been in church for a while, but you really still have a hard time even understanding, reading the Bible yourself. You flip through the Bible, and it's like, this is still kind of weird to me. What if you were real and honest about that with somebody? And you begin to go, man, I think wholeheartedly, if we were just beginning to be real with one another, we would have the best year we've ever had as a church. And you would have the best year ever because you would be doing exactly what Jesus said to do. So here's how we're going to dismiss today. It's real simple. In the very back, there's a Connect group table in the back. I'm going to count to three. When I say three, I'm going to say go. When I say go, all you got to do is stand up and walk over and go. So here's the challenge for you. Man, are you willing to have the best year ever? Willing just to be real with one another? Lay down the guard, kind of the boundary lines, and say, hey, this is where I really am. Hey, we would love to have a men's group. Let me just say that. If you're a man in here, man, I'd love to have a men's group, get together with some men. Hey, if we don't have one back there, just write it down. Interested in, you know, leading a men's group, contact me. Put your contact information on a Connect card. Turn that over to the Brave 10. You guys ready? Here we go. One, two, three, go. We'll see you later. Yeah.